Don't touch that dial. Stay a while and listen to the great things that God is doing in the world today. This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rohn.
Praise God. It is another beautiful day. On today's broadcast, we have a missionary to Mexico. Now, not just an ordinary missionary. His name is David Hogan, and he has been involved in seeing many people raised from the dead in his ministry. David was the son of a long line of pastors, and what he saw did not impress him. He wanted out of the church. Actually, he wanted to see something that was real. He wanted to do the right thing. He began believing the word, and it just didn't seem to work when he started out. Today, he is telling his story. Now, he is an excited individual, provocative and wild, and he's going to tell his story, an experience that you need to hear today. Here he is, David Hogan.
I said to him, you show me one man, not a dozen, not 40. I want one guy that's doing what Jesus did. Show me that one person. I'll believe your word. God spoke to me again. I'm going to make you that man. And I said to him, that's a deal. So I unbuckled my seatbelt, got out in the middle of the aisle, knelt down, and I led myself to Jesus. I'd watched my daddy do it my whole life. I knew how. I did believe Jesus was the Son of God. I just didn't like the church part of things. I went back, and I sat down with my Bible. And I read my Bible to God. I said, listen to me. This is not what your word says. Your word says they're supposed to be healed. Why are they dying? Nothing. So I went back out there again. Some more people died. I come back and I told my wife, this thing's not working. It can't be my fault. I said, I love Jesus. I have left houses and homes. I have left my job. We're suffering without money. We don't even have food. Why won't this work? See, without food, all that obedience I did, it still didn't work. So I decided to seek the Holy God. I decided to try to find Him and please Him. No matter what the cost, because I've already paid a big cost. I was making right around 5,000 take home US dollars a month, and I was a kid. So I was already paying a price as far as finances and family goes. To us, it was a stiff price. And then I got there to do my job, and it didn't work, and I'm not good at my job, and I hate that. You have no idea. I like to be good at what I do. Now I'm one of the best alive. So how did we get there? How did we come from a zero to a champion? What is it that cut us out of the herd? Don't you think that's the right question? The goodness of God overrides everything. Amen. I took my Bible, not this electronic thing, but the paper one. But I took my Bible, I took it apart, y'all. I've studied my Bible my whole life. I left the church for a while, because I was angry. But my mama taught me the Bible. Before I went to school, the first day, I could quote you every story in the Bible perfectly. Knowing them is different than doing them. So how do you get to know the God that does these things? I took my Bible apart. I had these notebooks, these spiral notebooks. I wrote down everybody in the Bible, all of them, starting in Genesis, went straight through to Revelations. Took me 6 months. I took the whole thing apart. Then I categorized everybody. How much did they pray? How much did they fast? What was their family life like? What were their kids like? What were the results of their prayer life? And I had the whole thing, and I mulled over it for months and months because I couldn't do the job. And then one day I told my wife, I've come to a conclusion. She said, then what are we going to do? I said, we're going to bow. Every one of these men that have results at what I think we should be doing were men of prayer, were men of fasting, were men of responsibility, men of duty, men of success, faithful, dedicated, diligent human beings. I can do those things. I can fast. I can pray. God will teach me. He loves me. So I did. I started doing all that. Modern church don't like to talk about prayer and fasting anymore. Hence, you get the results that you want. Nothing. But you see, there's people like me traipsing around the planet looking for an army. But we're going to win this thing with the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. We're not going to be ashamed. We're not going to be afraid. We're not going to worry with men. We're going to worry with pleasing God. 4 years, I lost nearly everybody I prayed for. That's very disappointing. I mean, it got to where I'd go into a village and they'd say, there's coal here, but don't you pray for them. And then one day, see, this is where it starts. It's a suddenly event. Acts chapter 2, what's the first word? Suddenly. Psalms 3:1. Lord, how they are increased who trouble me. Trouble was what was going on around me. I'm supposed to be part of the solution, but I cannot make it work. Many are they who rise up against me. These witch doctors were having a field day with me. I come there preaching Jesus can do anything, and we saw nothing. Verse 2. Many are saying of me, there is no help for him in God. That's exactly what it looked like. Some of you sitting right here right now, you're at that point. You feel like you've given it your best shot. You've done your best. You have tried to love Jesus. You have tried to submit your family and your success to God. And people are abusing you and criticizing you. And you feel overwhelmed with failure. Here's what R.W. Shambach taught us to do. Tie a knot in the end of the rope and hang on and hush. God's coming directly. He'll be along. He's coming. I went out to a village. I've been doing this with some medium to no results. A man met me at my truck, but I can't do anything. I got the best civilian truck known to humans. I got the best music known to humans. I got the best wife in the world, but yet it doesn't seem to faze hell at all. There's something else we need. It's called the mercy of the Holy God. I got out of that truck and there's this Indian standing there, no shoes, clothes full of holes. People I work with are in the top 5 poorest in the world. He looked at me. Te necesito, hermano David. I need you, brother David. I said, mucha gente me necesita. Lots of people need me. He said, my boy's almost dead. Now I need you to come heal him. I said, you know, I'm not very good at my job yet. His response was awesome. He said, you're better than what I've got. And I told him, thank you. So I said, you got to wait. You got to wait. Because if you know your Bible, you know this verse. I believe it's Psalms 107:20 maybe. God sent his word to heal. See, I'm not the healer. The healer's name is Jesus.
Amen.
And so I said, we got to go over here and preach the word. The word is what heals. Y'all all know I can't heal you. You've seen that. But this word is true. Somehow it's going to start working. I don't know how. But we're going to stay with it till it does. So we went and had a small group, probably 40 people. I told them how awesome Jesus was. I said, even though I have not seen it, I know him to be really awesome. I got through, some people got saved. I was happy about that. Thank you, God. At least something's working. I was packing up my stuff, and that guy says to me, you going to my house? Pray for my son? Sure. I forgot. So we started hiking through the woods, through the jungle. Where I live, it's tropical. Well, I can't tell you how awesome it is. I started hearing this woman screaming. She was quite loud. I didn't know what was wrong with her. Sounded like she was having a fit. We went straight to that house where the woman was screaming. Our houses are made out of grass. The roofs, they come down pretty low. You have to bend down to go in them. The walls are made out of sticks, out of bamboo. He goes in that room. A few minutes he comes out, but his countenance changed. Something was in that room that made him different. And then, just like meeting God in the jet that day, my world was fixing to change again. And I have not a clue. I don't know this. I don't go looking for change. I go looking for Jesus. And he brings me to destiny and purpose. He suits me. He armors me in God's character. So that when I meet destiny, destiny recognizes me. And he put his finger in my face. Now, I believe every born-again person needs this experience. And he said these words to me. My little boy is dead, and you're going to do something about it. And I'm looking at him. When you meet destiny and purpose, you have to decide to walk with them or they'll pass you by. And I told him, show me what you got. So he goes in. I go in behind him. Now, listen, I apologize to you about this. What I'm fixing to say to you, I was more caught off guard than you're going to be right now. I raise up, and there's just these five candles burning in there. And I look, and there are six men standing there. They are my enemies. Three black magic warlocks. They hate me. And I return the favor. I hate them back. They are demons. I owe them but one thing, repent or burn. And there are three spiritist healers standing there. They hate me. And I looked over there and there's the mama, the screamer person. holding a 9-year-old stiff boy. I was in a bind. Do you understand what I just said to you? My enemy's death. I've never seen this before. Everybody I touch dies. At least he's not going to die. So I made a decision. If you'd have been there, you could have taken my young, youthful, impetuous, aggressive self and taught me not to do what I did next. But you weren't there. I rolled up on this black magic warlock, the first one. We're this close. And I'm looking at him. He's cursing me, spitting on me. And I'm looking him right in the eyes. And I leaned over. Bam! Listen. You have no idea how bright hell can get. I stepped to the second guy. And I'm looking at him. How's it going? Bam! Bam! Woo! These guys were lit up. And I'm sitting there. We're just looking at each other. I mean, we're seething. It's like the All Blacks. And then I heard, I was distracted for a minute by these bad guys. And then I heard the mama again. You understand? She's not interested in what we're doing. Her loss is the value to her. Do you understand that? I heard her again. And so I back over. I'm looking at these guys. I'm backing away from them. I'm looking at them. And I turned. To get to her, I had to put my enemy at my back. It's not tactically smart to put your enemy on your back. But when you're walking with destiny and purpose, it don't matter what the enemy's doing. It matters what God's doing. And so I ease over there and mom's, you know, she's looking at me because, see, when she saw me, you should have seen hope fill her eyes. But I don't have a track record of success. But she quietly backed up from that little boy. She's just sobbing now. She's subdued. I didn't know what to do. I got down on this little boy. He's still tacky. Color's gone. They're really dark, almost black people. He's whiter than me. And I'm laid up on top of this kid and I'm looking at him. And I'm trying to, I put my ear down, trying to find, I don't know, just one in 30 seconds would be okay. Just one heartbeat. But there wasn't any. So what do you do? Well, you pray, brother. Praise the Lord. If that were true, then all of y'all would be dead raisers. I honestly didn't know what to do. But then, even though the place was tense, all these enemies are there. The environment is harsh for the gospel. Well, for me, verses started going through my mind. Elijah, he rolled in on that kid. What did he do? He laid on top of that kid. God, why'd you hide this from me? He said, come back here. So the kid came back. And then when Jesus rolled in on that 12-year-old, she's sleeping. They laughed him to scorn. He threw him out. He said to her, get up now, dear. She stood up. I said, God, and I quoted the verses to it. I said, I don't know how to do this. So I'm going to start in English and we'll go from there. I prayed in English. Didn't work. So I prayed in Spanish. Surely a European language will work. Didn't work. Oh my God. I'll pray in their language since I've learned their Aztec. I started praying in their language. Didn't work. Oh, I know. This new language I got, I'll speak in tongues. That surely will work. Didn't work. So I said, Heaven, I'm absolutely out of fuel. I've used every language I got and the ones that I don't even know what they're saying whenever I'm saying it. And none of this stuff works. Would you please take up some kind of slack for me? Because I seem to not know what to do. And then it happened. I'm sitting there. It's been way over an hour. His kid's been dead now close to 7 hours. I'm sitting there. Now look, what happened next changed me forever. You see how in your face I am. You see how aggressive I am. You see how I know I'm right. You see it. You can see it. It really puts people on edge because I'm really that away. I'm right about this. Jesus is King. And I'm what y'all call a believer. Listen, I want all of you in your life to see what I saw next. I'm in there, nothing worked. It's supposed to, but it didn't. And then the little boy's t-shirt, I don't know why, it was just smooth across his chest. I'm leaning down, sweating. It's about 43 degrees centigrade in that room. I mean, I am scalded. And them guys are still spitting at me back there. But that didn't change a thing. God wasn't impressed with them or me. That little boy's shirt bounced. And I saw it. I go, are you serious? I said, no kidding. I raise up. I mean, I'm bug-eyed now. What? And the dad, his eyes are big. He goes, you saw it too? I said, I saw it. And a little t-shirt bounced. It works. It works. And about 2 minutes later, I felt the first heartbeat hit the right pulse over here. And stop. I said, no. You keep beating. I don't know what it took to get you going, but work. And then it got sporadic where it would beat about 10 or 15 and stop for a few. Beat 10 or 15, and then it got to where it was. And then I watched his color come back in his skin. And he got flexible again. And I'm just going, oh, my God. Oh, my God. This stuff works. Oh. And then he opened his eyes. Now, to them, I'm a big white fella. It scares the fire out of them kids in these villages. But he didn't get frightened of me. He's just looking at me. I pick him up. And I didn't know what to do with him. Whose is he? Is he mine? Whose is he? But then I reminded how Elijah brought the little boy back to the mom and said, give him something to eat. Jesus brought the girl to the mom. Give her something to eat. So I'm thinking, these guys probably know what's right. So I tote this little boy, and he's just as calm. He's so healthy and alive. And I bring him over to his mom, yeah. And I said to the mom, look, I don't know why it worked, but it did. Here's your son raised from the dead by the blood of Jesus the righteous. And she just took that kid. She's looking at me. She's just freaking out. I mean, you got to understand, she went from a dead kid to a live kid. Her emotions are chup. I said, I don't know why, but in the Bible, they always told the mom to give them something to eat. Give them something to eat. And if you got any left, I want some too. I'm hungry also. So Since that day, this hand right here, this one, this hand right here, normal chopped off finger hand, 33 dead raisins. See that? Right here. Now, are we okay on time? Time's okay. You, O Lord, what are you? You're my shield. What else are you? My glory. What else? What does it feel like to lose so much in a row and then win? How high do you think my head was by the time I got home to my wife? I don't even remember the ride home. My wife's cooking. It's late. Must be 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. She's cooking me a meal. I'm sitting there. Service go. How'd service go? Oh, it was all right. She said, well, anything special happened? I said, absolutely. You going to tell me about it? I said, yeah. God raised the little boy from the dead. She picked the skillet up. I thought she's going to hit me with it. I said, we won, Ms. Hogan. We won. We made it in. Now, since that day, there's a large number, over 500 dead raisings in Mexico in our work. You hear me? That's a lot of people. That's probably what we got in here. Just figure, if we wouldn't have been there, this many people wouldn't be alive. Think about it. But because of Jesus, they are. Everybody good? I am. I'll believe your word. The goodness of God overrides everything.
Wow, that is something. David Hogan from Freedom Ministries. Thank you, Lord, for such a ministry.
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force. I'm Jim Rome. Would you like more people to hear broadcasts like the one you heard today? Today, I'm asking, believing that this is what God would want me to do, and some of you out there believing that God would be reaching you, touching your heart and mind, and saying, be part of this ministry. Our website is globalairforce.net. Once again, the website is globalairforce.net.
Lord, you know I need a brand new touch. My strength from yesterday is gone. But if you'll give me, Lord, another touch, I'll have the strength to carry on. Lord, you know how weak I really am, even better than myself. But with your help, I know I really can make it through the darkest night. Everything's gonna be alright.
Come fly with Global Air Force.